Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I am so glad that you're with us, and we have a passage of Scripture today that deals with one of the most important and strategic principles in the Word of God, the principle of original sin, the principle of why every single person needs Christ. Whether you're a nice person in this life or you're a not so nice person, whether you're living in China or whether you're living in India, whether you're living in Russia, whether you're living in the United States, doesn't matter. Why, regardless of your creed, your color, your background, your nationality, it doesn't matter. We all need Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Why? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today because it's the next subject up. In John chapter 3, and remember, what do? We preach the passage, right? And the passage before us brings us to that topic. So, are you ready? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive us for our sins this week, and even this day. And Lord, open our hearts to understand your word. It's not a simple concept we're going to talk about today, but it's so critical in understanding the Bible and the plan of salvation that you created and why it was necessary and is necessary for all of us. So, Lord Jesus, illuminate our hearts that we might understand and grasp the deep truths of your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, and what? Amen. We haven't said it for a while. What do we study here at Live with Lon? Say it with me. The Bible, come on. The whole Bible, and what? Nothing but the Bible. And that's what we're going to do and then apply to our lives today. So, we're in John chapter 3, as you know. We're moving through the first 11 chapters of the book of John, trying to catch up to the triumphal entry that we've already gotten to in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels. So, we come today to John chapter 3, where Jesus has just had a conversation with Nicodemus about how the plan of salvation works. If you missed my message last week, oh my gosh, do you need to listen to that? It's just one of the simplest and most usable explanations of the plan of salvation anywhere in the world. You can use it with your friends, your relatives, your co-workers. It's simple. Now, so go back and look at that. Now, here in John chapter 3, we're now in verse 18. For God, verse 17, let's put that up. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's hard to know whether Nicodemus is still around or not. I don't know. But Jesus goes on and says, he who believes in him, that is Christ, is not condemned. Stop. How can you say it any simpler than that? Hey, this is Romans 8:1. Listen to Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, let's put it up on the screen for you. Ready? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Here's what it says. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Isn't this what this verse says? Verse 18, the person who believes in Christ is not condemned. How great is that? When we stand before a holy God. A holy God whose holiness is so awesome that just like a red-hot burner makes a drop of water put on it vaporize. That's how God's holiness is when it confronts sin. But we're not like that drop of water anymore. We're protected. We're covered by the blood of Christ. And we're protected by the promises of God like this one. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, let's go on. He who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe in the Lord Jesus is condemned already. Now, this is what we want to talk about today. Why am I condemned already if I don't believe in Christ? And let me skip ahead to the very end of the chapter. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, no condemnation. And he who does not believe in the Son will not see eternal life, but the wrath, the anger, the judgment of God, look at this, abides on him, sits on him, rests on him. Why? Well, that's what we want to cover today. Why am I condemned already if I don't believe in the Son of God? I want you to notice that the condemnation is not because I don't believe. That is part of it. But even before the gospel's ever preached to me, and I might reject Christ, I'm condemned already. Why? Why am I condemned already? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to talk about why. And I want you to put on your thinking caps here, because in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is explaining to us why we are all sinners, and we all die, and we all need Christ. The book of Romans is all about the fact, the first 8 chapters, that everybody needs Christ. Jews need Christ. Gentiles need Christ. Mormons need Christ. Buddhists need Christ. Secular Americans need Christ. We all need Christ. For there is no distinction, the Bible says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all, Jews and Gentiles alike, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So people who say, hey, there are several ways to get to heaven. You can get there through this. You can get there through that. Friends, we got to take the book of Romans out of the Bible, if that's true. People who say, oh, Jewish people and Jewish people love to say this. We have our own deal with God. You guys, Christ is a Gentile issue. Friends, if that's true, we got to take the book of Romans out of the Bible. The book of Romans says no distinction between Jew and Gentile. All of us have sinned, Romans chapter 3. Now, look what he goes on to say in chapter 5. We're here, chapter 5. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that goes with verse 9, much more then, having now been justified, pronounced not guilty by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath, from condemnation, through him. This is a consistent message of the Bible. When we were enemies, how did we get reconciled to God? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death. And verse 11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. What reconciliation? Reconciliation between a holy God and a sinner like me. The only place a holy God and a sinner can meet and be reconciled is at the cross of Jesus. The only place a holy God and a sinner can meet without condemnation being given out to that sinner is at the cross of Jesus. Now, here we go. Verse 12, here it comes. Therefore, in light of all of this that I've said, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that? That was Adam, right? Okay. And how did sin enter into the world? Well, he disobeyed God and ate of the tree in the garden. Okay. And death by sin. There was no death in the world before Adam ate of that tree and brought death on himself, his wife, the human race. Thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Now, how did all men sin? You weren't there. I wasn't there at the garden. Well, remember we talked many times about how one of the key principles of the plan of salvation is being is the federal headship over his race of Adam and of Christ. There are just two races in the world in God's eyes. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And we inherit what the head of our race did, good or bad, if we're a member of his race. So in Adam, where we're all born, we inherit his sin, his disobedience, the death penalty that he had to pay, etc., etc. But in Christ, we inherit his obedience, and we inherit his death on the cross, and we inherit his blood covering for sin, and we inherit the adoption of as sons and daughters into the family of God through Christ that God offers, and we inherit eternal life. You with me? Okay. The example I gave you once is Jimmy Carter selling the Panama Canal. I didn't want to sell the Panama Canal. I wanted to keep the Panama Canal. I like the Panama Canal. I think it's good for us to own the Panama Canal. But whether I liked it or not, as an American, the president of America is the federal head of America. And everything he does, good or bad, we as Americans live with the consequences. So whether I liked it or not, I sold the Panama Canal away and I no longer own it as an American. We no longer own it. You understand the principle? Okay. Now Paul goes on to prove that he's right. This is the doctrine of original sin. The doctrine that we became sinners because we're in Adam, whether we like it or not. Okay, here he goes. Look. And I want to read it from the NIV. Let's put these verses up because I think the NIV is a much better translation here. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, verse 12, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because in Adam, all of us sinned and were responsible for what our federal head did. Look, verse 13, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, the Mosaic law. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. So we say, what does that mean? Well, I mean, there's no way to tally up sin if there's no law to measure it. Remember, Adam broke a law, a command of God, do not eat from the tree. But between Adam and the time of Moses giving the Mosaic law after the Exodus, the Bible records no more direct commands of God that the human race was given. Therefore, they couldn't do what Adam did. Methuselah couldn't break a law of God, a command of God like Adam did. There weren't any commands of God that had been given to the human race. Do you understand? And when that's the situation, how do you tally up sin? How do you impute sin to people's account? How do you measure sin if there's no laws to be broken? Do you understand what Paul is saying here? Now, he goes on to say, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there's no law to break. Nevertheless, watch, here it is. Death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did. That's it, folks. The point is, if the people between Adam and Moses could not be charged with breaking a command of God like Adam did, and sin could not be tallied up to their account, why did they die? Why did they die? They weren't sinners by breaking the laws of God. There were no laws of God to break. You see what I'm saying? But they died anyway. Why? Because breaking a law of God does not make you a sinner. You are a sinner, and so am I, from the moment we are conceived, because we are members of Adam's race. And when we are born, we come into the world, Ephesians 2:1, dead in our trespasses and our sins, because we are in Adam's race. And that's before we ever break a law of God. Now, we break lots of laws of God, you and me. But that doesn't make us a sinner. We break those laws because we already are a sinner. We already have a sin nature. When the sperm and the egg combined, that sin nature was created in us. And that's why we sin, because that sin nature drives us to sin. And you understand, what makes us a sinner is that we're a member of Adam's race. And that's why all died. In Adam, all die, the Bible says. While in Christ, whoever's in Christ shall be made alive. That means, friends, that switching races is the key to God's plan of salvation. When we trust Christ, God switches us from being in Adam to being in Christ, and from being the inheritors of everything Adam did to being the inheritors of everything Christ did, including paying for our sin. Do we understand that? And that's why every human being needs Christ. Because whether you're Chinese or you're Russian or you're from Great Britain, or whether you're South African, or whether you're from the Congo, or whether you're from Colombia or America, it doesn't matter. We're all members of Adam's race when we come in the world, regardless of skin color, ethnicity, religious background, and all the work in the world we try to do to pay for our sin and escape the judgment of God. All the religious work we do, whether it's bathing in the Ganges or sitting with our knees folded, doing Zen Buddhism, or trying to keep the Ten Commandments, or praying to Mecca five times a day, or being baptized for the dead, or whatever. None of that takes us out of Adam's race. Do you understand? Only God can do that when we're born again into a new race, the race of Christ. And God does that when we put our faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. You with me? Now, let me read to you the rest of this. Verse 18. Consequently, because this is true, consequently, just as one trespass, Adam's, resulted in condemnation for all people. Do we see that? It's what the Bible says. All people. So also one righteous act by Christ on the cross resulted in justification and life for all people who would accept it. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Christ, the many who believe in him will be made righteous in the sight of God. Verse 20, and the law, the Mosaic law in the Bible, was brought in so that the trespass might increase. What does that mean? Well, it means by coming into our sinful nature and superimposing laws, holy laws, righteous laws, God's laws of behavior on top of our sinful nature, and watching us break this one, break that one, break this one, break that one. All that does is it's supposed to teach us how sinful we are. It's supposed to make us look and go, no matter how hard I try, I keep breaking God's law. Something is wrong inside of me. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. And this is why in Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says that the law was our tutor to lead us to Christ. The law is supposed to show us how sinful we really are because we keep breaking it. And it's supposed to make us say, wow, something is really amiss in me. I'm never going to be able to work my way to heaven trying to keep God's laws. There's got to be plan B. And that's how I come to Christ. Okay. That's what Galatians 3 says. The law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. Okay, now, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Praise God. So that just as sin reigned in death for those in Adam's race, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why does every human being die? Remember, between Adam and Moses, people shouldn't have died. You say, why do you say that? There was no law for them to break, like Adam did. So if there's no law of God to break, and sin therefore cannot be counted up and applied to your account, the people between Adam and Moses shouldn't have died. But they did die. That's Paul's point. And the reason they died is because something deeper is going on. Even though we didn't sin in the likeness of Adam's sin, breaking a direct command of God, we died anyway. People did. Methuselah, all of them. Why? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Why? Because the problem is not that we break God's law. That's only the way of measuring and showing us we're sinners. The problem is in here. We are born with a sin nature. And because of that sin nature, God's holiness is forced to judge us. We are in Adam. And we inherit the death penalty for sin that he brought on us. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fact that they died between Adam and Moses proves that sin nature lives in every single human being and God judges it. That's why we all need Christ. Okay, now, that's as far as we're going to go in this passage. But it brings us back to John chapter 3. Remember what Jesus said there. Verse 18. He who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because we're in Adam. That's why. Okay. Now, let's ask our most important question. Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. And folks, as we begin a new year, to have another year of life, to serve the Lord, what do we need to say? Come on now, ready? How sweet it is. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Now, if you've been listening to all of this, it's very possible that you're feeling like, hey, how is this fair? How is this righteous? I wasn't there. I didn't break a command of God in the Garden of Eden. Why am I held responsible for that? Why is everything that Adam did and all of that crummy stuff that he brought on himself, why in God's sight is all of that transmitted to me? Why does he hold me responsible for that? And if not responsible, why at least does he judge me for that? That's a good question. You say, it's not fair. Well, folks, the way God does things doesn't always fit with rules of human fairness. But I understand what you're saying. But may I give you another perspective? Folks, listen to me. We should thank God every day, every moment of every day, for the principle of federal headship. In Adam, all die. In Christ, everybody who's in Christ, all shall be made alive. We need to thank God for that. No. Unfair? Shoot, friends. It's the basis upon which you and I can get into heaven. Listen to me. We don't become righteous when we trust in Christ. We don't stop sinning when we trust in Christ. We try. We work hard at it with the help of the Holy Spirit, but we don't stop. In fact, I read one man who said, you know, if God really showed us how sinful we are as human beings, even as Christians, we'd be so depressed we'd go jump off a bridge. You might say, well, I'm not that bad. Really? Yeah, friends, when I was growing up, there was a cartoon that featured a guy named Krabby Appleton. Google him. And there was a mantra that was always said about him on the show. He was rotten to the core. Krabby Appleton, rotten to the core. Friends, you and I are rotten to the very core, because at the core of our being is that sin nature that loves to sin, that wants to sin, that delights in sin, that revels in sin, that is untamable completely, even with the help of the Holy Spirit in our life, that is completely rebellious towards God. But that doesn't go away when we come to Christ. So how in the world can God, as a holy God, forgive our sins and grant us eternal life and make us his children, take us to heaven? The principle of federal headship that you and so many other people say is so unfair when you're in Adam. Dude, when you get to be in Christ, it is so blessed and so beautiful and so wonderful, because in Christ, you get all of the ramifications and the results of what Jesus did. God imputes them to you, just like he imputed to you when you were in Adam all the things Adam did that you didn't like. Well, when you're in Christ, he imputes to you all the things Jesus did. Obedience, the resurrection, covering us with his blood sacrifice. All of that gets imputed to us, gets credited to us, because he's the federal head of our race. And that's beautiful. That's the only reason that God can justify us and pronounce us not guilty and say there's no condemnation for you. The only reason he can do that is because we switched races. And now we're in a blessed race. Now we're in an obedient race. Now we're in a sinless race. In the sight of God, we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and he doesn't see our sinfulness anymore. He sees the beautiful sinlessness of the Son of God covering us. Oh, don't ever wish for federal headship to go away. Folks, that is why we can get into heaven when we are still sinners, because we're in the race of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me close with that wonderful verse I've been referring to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Let's put it on the screen. It says, "For as in Adam all die," and you understand why now, "even so in Christ all who are in Christ will be made eternally alive." Federal headship. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. There's nothing else in the Bible that you can be in. You're in one or the other. God sees the entire human race in one of those two races. And friend, that's why in Christ, you're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. I feel like closing with Paul's incredible comment about the plan of salvation that God created for us. Look what he says. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Okay, I hope you got it. Why all people need Christ now. Got to switch races. And we do that by surrendering our heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He moves us into a different race. He borns us again, anew, afresh, spiritually. When we're born spiritually, we're born into a new race, the race of Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us today on this very pertinent subject. And for many of us who have really doubted of whether people outside of Christ perish and whether God has to condemn them and whether they really go to hell, Lord, thank you for teaching us today why this is true and reminding us who are in Christ of the beauty of federal headship, that you created so that we could find a way to transfer races and go to heaven. Lord Jesus, help us to go out and try to reach every person we know, because we understand that in Adam, if they don't switch races, condemnation, death, and hell is, well, what does John 3 say? They're already condemned. So Jesus, help us to really love people enough to share the truth with them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, what a wonderful passage of scripture. And remember, some people say, well, why should I share the gospel with somebody? Because if they don't believe it, then God's going to condemn them for not believing in Jesus. But if they never hear the gospel, they'll be in better shape, friends. No, they won't. Okay, haven't you seen what we proved today? No, they're not going to be in, they're condemned already before they ever hear of Christ. You're not condemning them by letting them hear about Christ. You're giving them a chance to be saved. Okay, just want to make sure that's clear. I love you guys. God bless you. See you next week.